flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
The 2025 college football schedule is out for the University of Miami. Interesting to note, the Canes do not leave Florida until November. And they finish the season with two road games at Virginia Tech and at Pittsburgh. The beginning of the season, three of the first five games are against what many would call the Hurricanes' biggest rivals, Florida, Notre Dame, Florida State. I say almost tongue-in-cheek, but maybe not. If the University of Miami could schedule Florida, Florida State, and Notre Dame every year, the fans would love it. The other nine games, whatever you give us, you give us. But if you give us those three every year, we'd love it. Don Bailey Jr. is with us. The schedule is out. So I mentioned, the good news is we don't leave the state of Florida until like November. The bad news is finish the season at Virginia Tech. And, of course, for the third straight year, we travel on Thanksgiving.
Well, Joe, I will tell you, I hope you pack your woolies, because SMU could be – Dallas could be 35 or 40. Virginia Tech could be 35 – or 30 or 35, and Pitt could be below zero. So, I mean, it's they give us a break early on in the season as far as the travel goes, but they are going to test Miami's ability as a cold-weather team in the final month of the season.
Okay, so we're going to whip through this. Season opens up on Labor Day weekend, Labor Day Sunday. Hallelujah. Miami finally gets one of these games in their stadium. How great is that? I think it's absolutely – I mean, we've gone to Atlanta. We've gone to Dallas. We've gone to Orlando. I think that's it. But finally, Miami gets a Labor Day game at home that has magnitude and meaning. It is Notre Dame. I could make the argument over the last 20 years, the high point of Miami football is still being Notre Dame in 2017. Notre Dame comes in, they'll have a new defensive coordinator, a new quarterback, but they have a pretty good DNA. They were in the national championship game.
Yeah, Joe, I happen to agree with you about Notre Dame. I don't know that you can pick a better opener for college football than Miami Notre Dame. Notre Dame coming off, as you mentioned, a national championship game appearance, and then Miami having 10 wins and being so prolific offensively. And there's going to be so many new names on both sides of the football, both on the staff and on the field. It's going to be an interesting ball game, but they do return those two running backs. And I think it's just going to kind of go old school where Miami returns, their strength is going to be their line and running game, and so is Notre Dame's. And it's going to be interesting to see how the two new defensive coordinators that both of these squads will have are able to put together a plan to slow down the run game.
September 6th brings us Bethune-Cookman. September 13th brings us South Florida. September the 20th, here come the Gator. The Gator come in. Of course, the challenge for the new Miami defensive coordinator will be DJ Lagway, slowing him down. Florida's challenge will be the week before they play at LSU.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, they're betting everything on their quarterback, Lagway, and I don't blame them. I mean, he finished off strong. This is a Florida team that Miami simply manhandled in Gainesville last year, and they had what started the season, I believe it was 4-5, and ended up on a four-game win streak to go 8-5, and the quarterback returns, their head coach returns, who was supposed to get fired every single week the entire season. So it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, when you think the end of August, you open up at Notre Dame, and at the end of September, you're finishing up with the Gator. It's going to be one heck of an opening month for Miami.
Okay, October 4th sends Miami to Florida State. They were 2-10. It's the first conference game of the year. It was only their third 10-loss season in program history. Florida State brings in 16 transfers, including the quarterback Thomas Castellanos from Boston College, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, first conference game, FSU up there October 4th.
Yeah, you know, when you think about it, they've also brought in four new offensive linemen, and Castellanos, you and I got to see against Miami a couple years ago at BC, and he's a guy that is they're going to try and recreate, you know, a quarterback that can run and quarterback that can move and make it difficult in the pocket. But he comes in with 20 starts, and you know, it just didn't work out for them at the quarterback spot last year. So anything better than last year, I think will make a big difference. And I'm not buying into last year. You know, that I think for Florida State last year, that was an abbreviation. Yeah, they were 1-7 in the ACC, but a year before that, they were undefeated. So this is, I don't know which one you're going to get, but I think that they will be much improved.
By the way, this little stretch of the schedule is Florida, Florida State, and then Louisville after a bye week on a Friday night. Louisville comes rolling in. I don't like Friday night games. Louisville averaged 36.5 points last season, 19 wins in the last 2 years. We know there was a big shootout last year at Louisville. They replaced their quarterback. That's a Friday night game at Hard Rock Stadium.
You know, Joe, I think they're about – as well-coached team as you're going to see in college football. Their coach was raised and groomed by Coach Schnellenberger. It'll be the battle for the boots. And it's going to be a very, very exciting football game. And Louisville always has me worried. I mean, and you can look at what happened last year, yeah, but it was a 52-45 game for Miami on the road. And Louisville just wouldn't go away, and neither would Miami. And it really boils down to both of these teams can play. Their quarterback's coming in from Southern Cal, and they've got a running back that comes back that rushed for over 1,100 yards. So it's going to be a tough game, and I would not call this a gimme by any stretch of the imagination.
Now, this also starts a stretch of seven straight games. So October 25th, here come the Stanford Cardinals, 3-9, four straight three-win seasons for Stanford, allowing 33 points per game. I was just out at Stanford. They've got a beautiful campus, a beautiful stadium. They've got a lot of resources. I'm surprised that they can't get it going in football and basketball, but that's another story. November the 1st, Halloween, or the day after Halloween, we're going to Dallas to take on SMU. Did not play them a year ago. Rhett Lashley has them rolling. Went 11-3 last year. averaged 36 points a game. He's 29-12 in 3 years. Miami goes to Dallas on November the 1st.
It's going to be a big challenge, and yeah, they've got some hurricane players on there, and this is the beginning of the stretch where it can be awfully cold for Miami. Miami's not known to play extremely well in the cold weather, but you know, you look at them, they finished last year at number 12 and lost to Clemson in the title game for the ACC championship, but they returned their quarterback, and he's a pretty darn good player, and I think, you know, some of the preseason rankings that I've seen has them in that 13, 14, 15 range, but SMU is proven to be a very consistent team under Rhett Lashley, and I don't see any changes. We know he does a great job with defense, I mean with offense, but they made some plays on defense and had some big wins last year.
This year in November, right around November the 8th, Miami was 9-0. If they are in the hunt on November the 8th of 2025, then November the 8th of 2025 must be, I declare, it must be the same as December of 2001. And that is when Miami destroyed Washington, or maybe that was November. It doesn't matter. The same as 2001. Washington came in and Miami destroyed him after Washington beat Miami the year before. Syracuse knocks Miami out of the postseason this year. They come in on November the 8th.
Yeah, they do, Joe. And thank God McCord isn't there anymore. You know, yeah. I think he was a quarterback that was really underrated nationally. He could not. He was as important to Syracuse as Ward was to Miami, and equally as productive in a lot of ways. You know, the running back, Allen, was productive as well, and he's no longer with him. He was a 1,000-yard back, but they return their main receiver, Pena, who had 941 yards and 9 touchdowns, and you see how Syracuse plays. I mean, they're a tough football team. Their coach is going to get them ready to play, and they understand the importance of a big game. And what does that mean? Well, they hope this game's on national TV. They hope this game has got all the hype. They hope it's for everything, because that's when his guys seem to show up.
Then Miami will be home for their final home game of the year against North Carolina State. We know that they're always tough. They went 6-7 this year. They did force 20 turnovers. It's their first losing season since 2019, so you know Dave Dorn's going to want to turn that around. They've got the quarterback, the kid that went to Chaminade, so that'll be a homecoming for him.
Yeah, it will be. And NC State always bothers me. You know, I think Dave Dorn, their head coach, is one of the most underrated coaches for sure in the conference and maybe in the country. And as you mentioned, they just don't lose games. They haven't had a losing season in 5 years. And they seem to get just enough skill talent to match up with the quarterback position that they have. But their defense is always challenging. You know, they run that 3-3 front, and they've got all kinds of tricks that come with it. So fortunately for Miami, you've got the Wolfpack at home.
The season ends. Miami goes to Virginia Tech. Hokies hired a new defensive coordinator today, the linebacker coach from the Arizona Cardinals, Sam Cifagas, linebacker coach from the Arizona Cardinals. So they went to the NFL to get their defensive coordinator. Interesting to note, before Miami plays Virginia Tech, the Hokies will play Louisville and Florida State, so they might be a little bit bruised up. And then we finish the season in a familiar spot. Always seems like we finish in Pittsburgh. They went 7-6 last year, had 4 defensive touchdowns. Offensively, they were explosive for a while, 29 touchdown passes. That was 4th in the ACC. But we're going to go to Pittsburgh on Thanksgiving weekend, and it could be for the whole shebang. We'll see.
Well, it was before, and Miami came away a little disappointed, and I guess it was 2017. And, you know, let's remind everybody that Pitt beat the heck out of Syracuse, and after that game they couldn't win a football game. I think they started off 6-7-0 and had a heck of a year, and then they just hit the slump and went downhill after that. But you know, the thing is, Joe, they returned their quarterback, and they are a team that it's tough to play there. It's a tough stadium. They're well coached. You know, they play that defense they put a lot of pressure on your offense by having the ability to cover their guys up with, you know, matching up singles with the corners. So it's going to be an interesting game, and I don't want to skip over that Virginia Tech. You know, they lost four of their last five, but they've brought Bud Foster back in an advisory role and teaming him up with a defensive coordinator that's got linebacker experience, and they're just really trying to recreate the formula that Frank Beamer had, was defense, special teams, and just enough offense.
Okay, when we come back, we'll take a look at the University of Miami here in the offseason, little offseason look at the roster, players that must improve, players that must improve and take their game to the next level, and also look at the offense. Plus, Eric McClain from the ACC Network joins us, and we'll talk about the rest of the schedule, a big broad look at the ACC schedule, and that opening weekend has some wild games for the ACC. So that's all coming up on the show. Hey, how about this? It's almost baseball season, and on Saturday, February the 8th, it is Fan Fest at Mark Light, Alex Rodriguez Park. Free event, of course, for families and fans of all ages. Autograph session with the team at Alex Rodriguez Park at Mark Light Field. This is always a great event. Gates will open at 2:30. The alumni game is set for 6 p.m. Great tradition, great history. Canes Fest, the alumni game, Saturday, February the 8th. Gates open at 2:30. The alumni game is set for 6 p.m. All right, this morning, I had a little reunion at Williamson Cadillac. Went down there.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at BollandBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Here I saw Jermaine Chambers, former University of Miami wide receiver. If you want to get into a new Cadillac, he's the guy to see. Saw Reggie, Reggie's a big Hurricane fan. You ever need anything to do with maintenance, Reggie is your man. Saw, of course, the boss, Ed Williamson. Business is good. Everybody is happy. In fact, when you walk into Williamson Cadillac, you walk in to a happy place. Everybody's happy. Everybody's working. And boy, oh boy, your eyeball starts spinning around at all the luxury vehicles, whether it's an SUV or a Cadillac car. They've got something for everyone. I switched out today, went to the 2025 XT4. It is beautiful. I really like it. It's got just the perfect amount of room for our family. They have the XT5s there, the XT6. I've got the XT4. It's white, and the interior is beautiful. I haven't really driven too many white vehicles, but it's white. So if you see me on the Palmetto in a Williamson XT4, get out of the way. Make it easy on me, please. Miami's luxury dealership, founded over 50 years ago. They're more than a dealership. They're our friends. They're our neighbors. They stay focused on the customer experience, and you should check it out. First, go online, WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com, and then, of course, Williamson Cadillac, US 1 at 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto. Williamson Cadillac, Williamson is Miami.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, off-season football conversation tonight. Tomorrow, Hurricanes basketball, 7 o'clock against Virginia at the Watsco Center. We'll be on there at 6:30. We will be on our sister station, AM 790, Waxy 790 tomorrow, 6:30 for Miami and Virginia basketball. We'll get to that in hour number two. For now, Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr., talking off-season football. We just ripped through the schedule, very challenging and entertaining schedule for the University of Miami. And you can get your season tickets, by the way, at hurricanesports.com. Off-season, Mario Cristobal was asked about certain areas and certain players that have to improve. One of those players he was asked about is wide receiver JoJo Trader, who played well in the bowl game. He also talked about Reuben Bain, but then Mario went down that path and started discussing all the other young players that he's recruited the last couple of years, how that has to be the foundation of this team.
You mentioned two guys that certainly have, the local guys that have done well and show a lot of promise. In JoJo's case, JoJo has shown, he showed in that game what he showed while he was healthy. You know, JoJo did have some ups and downs and some bumps that kept him from consistent practice time, but he had been flashing. He had been showing a lot of the stuff that he can do. It was good to cut him loose. And for JoJo, the next step is strength and conditioning and just doing, being more of a pro about all of his dailies. And he's doing that. Awesome young man, awesome mom, tremendous upbringing, all heart, all about being a great Miami Hurricane. Sky's the limit for JoJo. You've seen him enough in high school. I know you've been out to those games. He's done it all. He's done that. And then for a guy like Reuben Bain, the offseason is critical for him, for guys like Francis, all those guys that are part of our first class, Reuben, Francis, Mark Fletcher, I could go on and on and on. All those guys now enter what would be their third year. All right, our first class are now juniors, to put in perspective where we are in terms of the growth of our program and our roster. Those guys now, their bodies should be significantly different. So what you should see is a more explosive Reuben Bain, a more powerful Francis, a more dynamic Mark Fletcher, who all last year, right, he spent rehabbing and getting ready for the season and hasn't had a full off season, you know? So I know you mentioned, you know, guys specifically, but I want to kind of paint a little perspective on that. Yeah, this is a critical off season from a development standpoint and from a leadership standpoint, because now it's their turn. Now they're the ones front and center. Now they're the ones that got to step out in front, because you certainly can't lead from the back.
All right, that's Mario Cristobal. And Don, JoJo Trader, I thought, played very well in the bowl game. He mentioned Mark Fletcher. And I think the thing about Fletcher is this. Compared to a couple of years ago, when Miami always seemed to be starting over at running back, and a Duke Johnson came in, or a Mark Walton came in, or a Travis Homer came in, they had to carry the burden from their freshman year. And by the time they're midway through the sophomore year, they were beaten up and kind of got through their junior years and so on. Fletch split the carries a year ago with Damian Martinez. I expect him to have a great season coming up, and the same for JoJo Trader. And I would also think there's a part of me that thinks with JoJo that he looks at his dear friend Jeremiah Smith at Ohio State and says, I got to match that guy. You know, we were teammates. And Reuben Bain, bad luck this year with the injury. I always think that's really hard to have a great season when you get injured in the first game.
I think thinking of anything less for Mark Fletcher than a 1,000-yard season would be giving him underestimating his potential. When you have Martinez this year, with the help of a great finish in the bowl game, but he finished with a 1,002 yards, and basically it was divided by three in a lot of football games, or for sure 2.5. And so Fletch should be looking at a 1,000-yard season. They're going to need him to do that. And then they're going to also need help, in that room. They do a good job. Coach Dawson does a great job of understanding how to get the maximum production out of the running game, and that's by rotating the backs. And Martinez, of course, is going to be drafted in the National Football League, so there's going to be some new faces there, but you're going to see 3 and 4 guys every single game that is going to help produce a powerful running game that's going to obviously be accentuated by that offensive line that returns.
Shannon Dawson, his offense averaged 43.9 points per game, led the nation in yards at 532. Carson Beck comes in 7,912 yards and 58 touchdowns at Georgia. And Coach Cristobal said the most important thing right now with Shannon Dawson is all the work that he does behind the scenes and the continuity that the offense has.
Shannon Dawson has, you've all seen the type of job that he's done. He's done an even better job behind the scenes, bringing everybody together and galvanizing the offensive staff and the offensive players. It's ultra valuable to do that because now you spend your off seasons, self-scouting and then morphing and evolving. So once the self-scout is done and we identify what we can do really well, now we hit the road or bring people in, both at the NFL and college level, where we can find an edge, where we can now start taking that next step for, okay, what does the offense for Miami look like in 25, 26, and beyond? So it's when you have continuity, especially after parts of, as it relates to success and continuity, it's tremendously beneficial in the offseason while never forgetting the core principles that got you there.
Okay, Mario Cristobal talking about Shannon Dawson. Nobody in this town spends more time with Shannon Dawson than you. This will be his, third year coming up? And we'll have quarterback in Carson Beck. So he should feel like he's got some roots here, have a good feeling for his offensive line, the way Coach Cristobal likes to see a game managed and all that stuff. The wild card is the health of the quarterback. But as Shannon Dawson starts working some of these pieces, and this is way early, what are some of your thoughts on the direction he takes this offense?
Joe, they're going to forever – the running game is going to be huge for them. We have to remember that. So, Coach Mirabal is obsessed with running the football. So is Coach Cristobal. And Coach Dawson is very run-friendly. And I think that's probably one of his greatest attributes is that he incorporates everybody's ideas on that side of the football and ties them all together with his beliefs. And, maybe when you look at it, a very underrated season last year for Shannon Dawson. Everybody says, Cam Ward, Cam Ward, Cam Ward. Well, how about Shannon Dawson, Shannon Dawson, Shannon Dawson? He's the guy that really put those pieces together, incorporated a productive offense that showed balance, that produced a 1,000-yard receiver, a 1,000-yard back, tight ends that went from zero production 2 years ago because of injury to being, parts of the highlight reel in the game. And he understands it, and he incorporates the entire offensive staff and the entire offensive unit. And that might be a part of his secret sauce, is that everybody feels that they're a part of the game plan. And he just continues to trust in what he believes, and he goes and he sticks with that running game, you know, come hell or high water, if it needs to be. And I think that's really an attribute to him, because most guys, you know, that are coordinators, the big passing yards and the big plays, that's what attracts the attention to the offense. But in reality, the run game is what really secures the offense as far as their productivity.
Well, there's a big part of me that says they better be able to run the ball early in the season, because Carson Beck is still coming off a pretty significant surgery. And I know, in August it'd be full go and all that. But I would imagine you don't want to throw the ball 35 times a game early in the season, and maybe taking a little stress off him would be something to be most helpful.
Yeah, it would be. And, you know, I think the other thing that you have to look at with Carson is that, you know, we're going to have to see what he does best with the new core of receivers. I don't think that's – last year when we're in training camp, it was the conversation was all about the secondary. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? This guy's new. That guy's new. Nobody returns. This one may be injured. But every week it was an around robin on who we're going to talk about in the secondary. And now you come into this season, the receiving core, everybody's going to be new. I mean, you don't have any. I don't think there's anybody there that had more than 10 catches. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the spring with the receiving core. But the backbone of this football team will be the offensive line and the running game. It'll do the defense a lot of good to have a successful run package, and it'll obviously help the passing game and Carson Beck.
Okay, we'll be dabbling in football during the off season, because there is no off season in football anymore. It's 12 months out of the year football. There's always something to talk about, and we will do that on the hotline as we work our way through the off season. And we got a basketball game tomorrow. Maybe I'll see you there.
I'm going to try and make it down, JoJo.
All right. Take care. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
All right. That's my broadcast partner, Don Bailey Jr. Still to come, Eric McClain. By the way, Hurricane fans, 8 home games. The schedule is out. Kicks it off. The season kicks off against Notre Dame, then Florida. So don't miss the action. Visit MiamiHurricanes.com/football tickets to lock in your receipts today. That's MiamiHurricanes.com/football tickets and lock in your receipts today. Also, again, February the 8th is the alumni game at Alex Rodriguez Park. Gates will open up at 2:30, and the alumni game will be played at 6 o'clock. Free event for families and fans of all ages. Autograph session. This is always a great event at Alex Rodriguez Park and Mark Light Field. The alumni game and Canes Fan Fest, 2:30, gates open, 6 p.m. is the first pitch. We'll continue with Eric McClain from the ACC coming up next.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM, driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, welcome back to the show. And joining us now from the ACC Network, the very distinguished Eric McClain is joining us. ACC Network and EMAC becoming a regular on our show. We're going to call you a friend of the show, EMAC, and we greatly appreciate that. ACC football schedule came out. We can kind of jump into opening week and all that and look at some of the games. But overall, what was your impression of what they tried to achieve with the ACC football schedule? Again, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Joe. Always a pleasure. And I feel like a regular, man. I love jumping on with you and talking ACC and specifically the Canes. And, you know, I like the schedule. Obviously, there is a ton of opportunity in week one, and the ACC, I have to give all of our schools credit, most of our schools. We do a really good job of, scheduling hard games and scheduling big games and great opportunities. And, you know, Miami is certainly doing that with Notre Dame week one. And, you know, Sunday night, primetime, ABC, 7:30, cannot wait to watch that. But there's a lot of opportunity with Clemson hosting LSU, with FSU hosting Alabama, Georgia Tech going to Colorado, and I'm sure I'm missing a bunch. But there's really good, you know, opportunity for us to make a statement that will propel us throughout the entire season. So can we do it? Can we make enough noise and really kind of capture the nation? We have a great opportunity. And again, playing those 5 days straight, Thursday through Monday, I always love that we kind of own week one from that perspective.
Yeah, Syracuse, Tennessee, LSU, and Clemson. You mentioned Georgia Tech and Colorado, kind of an oddball game, but still a good game. Virginia Tech and South Carolina, Beamer Bowl.
Yeah. That's right, the Beamer Bowl, baby. Come on.
Miami Notre Dame on Sunday at 7:30. That's where we're going to kick things off. Notre Dame, of course, was here in the Orange Bowl game, played in the national championship game. Couldn't be a better way to start a season for the University of Miami. The University of Miami is starting their season with a Super Bowl game.
No, there's no question about that. And when you see the level, and you know, a team in Notre Dame just coming off of, you know, a national championship run, and a Hurricanes team that is hungry and starving, right? And, you know, really thought that they probably should have finished the season on a higher note. I know they're going to be juiced up, jacked up, and the ratings for that game is going to be insane.
Do you think the thought inside the league is that they've got to play? The brands have to play each other. I notice, you know, Miami's playing SMU. Of course, Miami plays Florida State. FSU has Virginia Tech. I think Virginia Tech might have Clemson. Clemson, of course, has Florida State. But the brands in the league, they've got to play each other, right?
Yeah, it's certainly, I think, a point of emphasis. And, you had a, you know, an issue last year where Miami, Clemson, and SMU didn't play. And, you know, it was crazy because we were staring down a situation in like week 10 and 11 where there might be a three-way tie. And what the heck are we going to do? And how do you figure that out? So I totally think so. And I love that because it's good for the league. It's good for TV. And certainly good for our fans. I mean, you look at some of the scheduling and you look at who teams play and when, there's a lot of intrigue. I mean, I know week six is a big point of emphasis that folks are excited about, especially on the TV side. And, you know, the fun thing is, Joe, we get to see what happens, you know, because we had all these great ideas of what would happen preseason last year. And that kind of got flipped on its head and others emerged and, you know, still had a good year. But, you know, it's not always the teams you think that are going to be rising to the top.
Yeah, week six has Clemson, North Carolina, Miami, and Florida State. Then I think it's week 11. We get Clemson at Louisville on a Friday night, Virginia Tech and Florida State, Notre Dame and Pittsburgh. So some good brands playing there as well.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And again, when you look at how it's spread out, when those kind of big games happen, and again, you have Clemson, SMU facing off in the regular season, you know, a rematch of the ACC championship, there's a lot to be excited about. And I'll tell you, you know, the weekday games as well, you know, coaches go back and forth, you know, whether they like them, whether they don't like them. I know it hinders recruiting and it kind of limits you from that aspect, but you know, being the only show on TV is a big deal. And to get all those eyeballs on your team, on our conference, is certainly something that we like and something that we want to continue, you know, to strive to make a big deal.
Yes, Miami has a Friday night game. Put me in the corner of raising my hand. I've been vocal about it for years. I hate Thursday and Friday night football for the University of Miami.
I get that. I totally do. You know, because it's a weird thing. It's not, you know, normal procedure. And some schools are very vocal about not wanting to host those for a plethora of reasons, with just the lack of ease to get to the university or with medical hospitals nearby, all these different things. You know, and I will say the good thing about the ACC, they were very accommodating in regards to what schools did or did not want. I think they had something like I'm going to lowball this number, but let's say it was 48 requests, 47 requests, and they knocked out 42 of them. You know, they had an 86 completion percentage, essentially, of what schools asked and were they able to accommodate, which I think is fascinating and always a good thing when you can help your partners.
Yeah, no question about that. Eric McLean, ACC Network, is our guest. University of Miami, their schedule, the first 5 weeks almost tell the story. In fact, the first 5 weeks, Miami plays three of the teams that this fan base would want Miami to play every year. And after that, I'm not sure that they would care who else is on the schedule.
I know that's a fact with the Catholics versus convicts. Yeah. I know, I'm sure that gets everybody jacked up, the old history there, and, you know, makes you want to fight everybody on the field, in the stands, and, you know, of course, with Florida and at Florida State. But the intriguing thing to me, man, and I'm not sure if you heard me say this last night, I'm sure you see it and visually know, but, you know, Miami doesn't leave the state of Florida until November 1st. That is crazy to me when you look at the luck, the goodness. I don't know what you want to call it. Maybe you'd want to switch. Maybe you want to stay in the state on later in the year for November, because you do have to travel to Virginia Tech and to Pittsburgh, which it's going to be cold. I'm not saying it's not doable, but it is going to be cold up there. But that was a fascinating nugget to me, that we're talking about three-fourths of the season before you guys have to leave the state.
Yeah, I get that. I'm not thrilled about going to Pittsburgh. It's the third year in a row Miami travels on Thanksgiving. That's just a personal thing. Although, North Carolina, we can make the same thing about Carolina. They play their eight conference games. Six of them, they don't leave North Carolina.
Isn't it fascinating how that works out? I'm sure it's one of those things, after you do it, you kind of look at it and you're like, wow, okay, this is a little interesting how that worked out for them. But, you know, I think the other thing, just to look at North Carolina again kind of quickly, the fact that they finish the season at Wake Forest, Duke at home, and at North Carolina State, that state championship, and how important I know that is to everybody in the Triangle, that's a fascinating finish as well. So there's so many quirky little things. You look at North Carolina and Miami, they both have the bye week opponent and then bye week again, kind of crunched in the middle there, where, you know, we saw Georgia Tech not affected by that. I think they won on both ends of it. But it is interesting, kind of that stop and go, you know, type of vibe there. And we'll see how that plays out and if the coaches like it, or if that's going to be a point of emphasis to avoid next year.
How is Belichick going to do with North Carolina? It's got to be one of the most intriguing storylines in all of college football.
Yeah, it's really fascinating, man. And it's, you know, it's one of those things where he's the greatest ever, right? As an NFL coach, it's just there's no way around it. The guy won so many Super Bowls, won at the highest level, did it their way. And, you know, we're the absolute standard for a long period of time. And so how is that going to translate? How is that going to translate that you're not working with Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, all the amazing, you know, defensive and other players that he worked with? You're working with kids. I'd have to go to algebra and you know, health class. You know, what is that going to be like when, you know, they take a misstep that you've been preaching for days and, you know, you get a little hot? So I am fascinated just to see how that works. How does it translate? How does it, you know, pan out, and how many wins? I mean, ESPN, I believe, just dropped their 12-team playoff, and North Carolina's in that. And now, I will say, I don't see anything close to that. I mean, I think that's a joke. But, hey, it is what it is, and I know it's going to be fun for everybody to talk about Bill Belichick being at Carolina.
Carson Beck, what are your thoughts on Carson Beck? You've seen him at the University of Georgia. He comes to Miami, not going to be able to throw for a couple of months. What kind of impact can Carson Beck have?
Yeah, man, it's one of those things where, to me, we touched on this a little bit the other night when we were doing the schedule show, where maybe a month ago, and you can correct me on the timeline, but before he had announced that, you know, I'm kind of looking at Miami's roster. I'm like, man, there's a lot of unbelievably great pieces here, but I don't know if there's a quarterback on the roster that's going to get it done. I don't know if there's a guy that you feel good about, and are you going to trust this young freshman coming in and give him the keys to the car? I don't know if you want to do that. And then as soon as that news was announced, I'm like, okay, well, Miami right back in the playoff driving seat, you know, and can they, you know, finish that run and make it happen and get to, you know, the college football playoff, the ACC championship, and, you know, handle business. When I look at him, he's as accurate as all get out. I know a lot of fans are going to want to point to last year and the big decrease in his passing percentage, but I want you to also watch the film. Don't just look at the stat sheet and see how many drops he had. I mean, his receivers were not helping him at all last year. And, you know, I think that's a big problem. His touchdowns went up. You know, and it's one of those things where I think in the Miami offense with the Miami playmakers, he's going to be more like we saw 2 years ago with those unbelievable stats, throwing for over 70% and 4,000, you know, plus yards there. So I'm very excited about it. The biggest, I guess, hesitation for me, Joe, which I have to think that Miami did enough due diligence and is confident enough, you know, with what we understand the NIL commitment is, that he will be playing. But just an injury is always scary, especially to a throwing arm. And something that was also brought up last night, the lack of the ability to really get the reps that Cam Ward was able to get. I mean, Cam Ward grabbing guys by the shirt saying, let's go out and throw. Xavier Restrepo begging guys to come out and throw. Carson has to heal. He does not have that ability. So you have to be in the film room. You have to go out with each other. You have to go to lunch. And, you know, you have to build the chemistry, not with the football, which is difficult. But, you know, he's an older guy. He's an experienced guy. He has NFL aspirations. And I think they find a way to get that done. But it will be interesting. What does a slow start look like going against a team that was just playing in the national championship?
Yeah, well, I agree. I mean, I'm concerned about when can he start throwing. It's coming off an elbow injury on the throwing arm. So, but they must be very, very confident that he'll be ready to go for training camp. Before we let you go, a couple more things real fast. One, of all the games on the Miami schedule, there is one that does jump out, at least for me anyway. Might be a little payback game because it still is stuck in my crawl, losing to Syracuse with such a devastating loss. And you don't get that many chances nowadays to get to a championship game or a playoff. And that's what that Syracuse loss cost Miami. They do get Syracuse at home this year. Syracuse will not have the same quarterback, so I don't know if they'll have the same offense, but that'll be a big one for Miami.
No, there's no question. I'm right there with you. That's where my eyes went very quickly, you know, for Miami, is just seeing when do they play Syracuse and when will that opportunity, you know, for revenge come? And, you know, it's hopefully at a very good time in the season, you know, late in the season in November, where, you know, if there were health concerns, hopefully, you know, with your quarterback, you've eased that. Hopefully your team has figured out who they are and continue to build together. And instead of kind of falling apart, they're ascending and playing their best football. So, you know, Syracuse, I think, has the hardest schedule in the country. You look at what they have, it is brutal. They play like four playoff teams, you guys, who are obviously the first team out, and then a handful of 9 and 10 win teams. I mean, it's crazy to look at who they have and the schedule that they have there. So it's going to be increasingly difficult for the Orange. And as you mentioned, Kyle McCord will be in the NFL. He's not there, as well as a lot of different contributors defensively. Rondé Gadsden, their great running back. A lot of guys not going to be there. It's going to be a different looking Syracuse team.
Okay, last thing for you. We've kind of touched on this, but the ACC is still having a hard time in their public relations battle, or whatever you want to call it, with the SEC and probably the Big Ten. How do they level the playing field? I know trying to do that through scheduling with the brand names, but is there another way for them to level the playing field?
No, I think you've got to win, man. You know, it all comes down to winning football games and, you know, winning big football games. And I think, you know, obviously when you look at the outcomes last year and just silly losses, like losing to FCS or G5 programs, you can't do that. And you've got to be able to hang your hat there, but also you have to win, you know, against the big dogs. And when you play the SEC, when you play the Big Ten, the Big 12, you have to own, you know, those games. And, you know, we just haven't been able to capture our fair share there. So how do you do that? How do you get back in that driver's seat? It's win. It's shape the narrative early, which we have a great opportunity week 1 and 2. And then, of course, at the end of the season for rivalry week to kind of put an exclamation point, you know, there.
EMAC, always great to speak with you. Perhaps we can reconvene during spring football and talk about some of the other storylines inside the league. The schedule released this week should be a lot of fun, and everybody can take a look at the schedule and look at all the great matchups. And again, thanks for being with us here on the show tonight.
I appreciate you, brother. Thanks for having me always.